Okay. Have you ever hit that post button on something online, outside of school, like maybe late at night on the couch, and then later you're like, wait a minute, could that actually get me in trouble at school?
That is the exact question we're going to be tackling
Pretty
today.
good one.
Yeah, we're being a deep dive into a really important case, Kowalski v. Berkeley County Schools.
Right. Kowalski v. Berkeley County Schools. And, this isn't just some, old legal thing that doesn't matter anymore if you're trying to, really figure out where does free speech end and where does school authority, begin in this world where we're always online. This case is super important.
Absolutely.
It went all the way to the Fourth Circuit, and it really forces us to think about how we balance a student's right to, express themselves with the school's duty to, keep the learning environment safe and productive.
Exactly. And I think for a long time, school rules basically applied when you were within the school walls.
Right.
But with the internet and social media,
Yeah.
all of a sudden those walls have gotten really blurry.
Totally. Yeah.
So Kolsky really grapples with that new reality.
It does.
And what we're going to try to do today is really break down the key facts of the case,
Okay.
the legal reasoning behind the decision, and the long-term, implications of what happened here.
Yeah.
And by the end, hopefully you'll have a much clearer understanding of when schools can legitimately step in
Right.
and regulate what students are doing and saying online, even if it happens off campus.
Okay, so let's unpack this Kowalski case.
Yeah, let's get into it.
What exactly went down? What happened? Give us the core, events of this case.
So the case is about Kara Kowalski. She was a senior in high school in West Virginia.
Okay.
And back in December 2005, outside of school, completely off school property,
Okay.
she created a MySpace discussion group.
Oh, wow. MySpace, that's a throwback.
Yeah, you're dating yourself a little bit there, but that was the platform back then.
Yeah.
The name of the group was SASH. And I
Yeah.
do want to point out
Okay.
that it allegedly stood for something really, really nasty aimed at another student named Shay N.
Wow. Okay. So it sounds like we're already dealing with some pretty strong and direct language here.
Absolutely.
So when we're talking about this MySpace page, was it just the name or was there other content on there too?
No, it went beyond just the name.
Okay.
So Kowalski, she invited about 100 people to join this group,
Okay.
and about two dozen of them ended up being students from her high school, Musselman High School.
Okay, so definitely involving the school community.
For sure. And then to make matters worse, one of the students who was a member of the group
Yeah.
actually posted pictures of Shay N on the page,
Okay.
along with just some really offensive and derogatory comments.
Like what Paula comment?
They were attacking her for her sexual activity and her personal hygiene.
So really personal stuff.
Really, really personal stuff. And to make matters even worse, Kowalski herself responded positively to these posts.
Oh.
So she was kind of like endorsing this harmful content.
Okay, so we're not just talking about random online venting. This was a directed effort that involved people from the school.
Absolutely. It was very targeted.
Okay, so how did the school even find out about this? And what was their reaction when they did?
Well, the very next day, Shay N and her parents went to the school
Okay.
and they filed a formal harassment complaint with the school authorities.
Okay.
And that's what kicked off the school's investigation.
Makes sense.
They looked into it. And based on what they found,
Yeah.
they determined that Kowalski had basically created a hate website.
Wow. Okay.
And that in doing so, she had violated the school's policies against harassment, bullying, and intimidation.
So pretty serious stuff.
Pretty serious stuff.
So what did the school do? What were the consequences that Kowalski faced?
So the school decided to suspend Kowalski for 5 days,
Okay.
but they also went a step further and gave her a 90-day social suspension.
What does that mean?
That meant that she couldn't go to any school-sponsored events for those 90 days.
So dances, games.
Exactly. Prom, anything like that was off limits.
Wow. Okay, so a pretty significant punishment, especially for something that, like you said, started completely off campus. So I'm guessing Kowalski probably wasn't too happy about that.
No, she was not.
So how did this end up going to court?
So Kowalski, she felt like her rights had been violated.
Okay.
And so she sued the Berkeley County School District and a bunch of the school officials
Okay.
in federal court.
Okay.
Her argument basically focused on two main constitutional points.
Okay.
The first was that the school had violated her First Amendment rights to freedom of speech. And the second was that they had violated her 14th Amendment rights to due process.
So basically, she was saying they punished her unfairly.
Exactly. And that they didn't have the right to punish her in the first place.
Interesting. So what happened with the initial court proceedings?
So the district court actually sided with the school.
Oh, well, okay.
And they granted them summary judgment.
Okay. And remind me what summary judgment means.
Yeah. So basically, summary judgment means that the court looked at the case
Yeah.
and they said, there's not really enough of a factual dispute here
Okay.
to even have a full-blown trial.
Okay.
We're just going to rule in favor of the school right now.
Gotcha. So case closed at that point.
Well, not so fast,
Okay.
because Kowalski, she appealed that decision
Okay.
to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit.
Okay, so that's where things get really interesting.
Yeah, now we're at the big leagues.
So what were the main legal issues that the Fourth Circuit had to deal with in this case?
So there were two really big questions that they had to answer.
Okay.
First, and probably the most important, was this First Amendment question.
Okay.
Did the school district go too far? Did they overstep their boundaries
Yeah.
by punishing Kowalski for speech that happened entirely off campus outside of school
Right,
hours?
like it wasn't on school grounds, it wasn't during school time.
Exactly. And the second question, as Kowalski argued, was about due process. Did Kowalski even know that what she was doing online could get her in trouble at school?
Right.
And did she have a fair chance to explain herself before they punished her?
Okay, so like, was the school's punishment fair in terms of the process?
Exactly.
Okay, so let's dive into that First Amendment question first.
Okay.
I mean, students have free speech rights, right? Didn't the Supreme Court decide that in Tinker v. Des Moines?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Tinker's a really important case from 1969.
Okay.
And it established this fundamental idea that students don't just like leave their free speech rights
Right.
at the schoolhouse gate.
Okay.
But there's a catch. Those rights aren't absolute.
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
Yeah. Tinker also said that schools can limit student speech
Okay.
if it's going to cause a substantial disruption.
Right. And that case was about students wearing armbands to protest the Vietnam War.
Exactly. But that all happened at school on school grounds.
So how did the Fourth Circuit take that idea of substantial disruption, which happened on campus in Tinker,
Yeah.
and apply it to something that happened online and off campus in Kowalski?
Oh.
That feels like a pretty big jump.
It's a huge jump.
Yeah.
And the Fourth Circuit, they recognized that. They said, listen, Tinker is important,
Right.
but online speech is different.
Yeah.
It can have a real impact on the school environment no matter where it starts.
Totally. Yeah.
So to figure this out,
Yeah.
they created a three-part test.
Okay, so a three-part test to figure out when a school can actually regulate off-campus online speech.
Exactly.
Okay, well, this sounds important. Walk me through it. What are the three parts of this test?
So the first part of the test is all about what they call the nexus to the school.
Nexus to the school. Okay.
So basically, the court is asking, is there a strong enough connection
Okay.
between the online speech
Yeah.
and the school environment?
Okay, so like how closely tied is the speech to the school?
Exactly. And to figure that out, they look at a few things.
Like what?
Well, they look at the content of the speech. Like, what is it actually saying?
Okay.
Is it about the school or specific students or teachers?
Okay.
They also look at who the speech is directed at, like who's the audience? Is
Okay.
it mainly people from the school community?
Makes sense.
And they even look at the online platform where it was shared.
Oh, interesting.
Like, does that platform have a clear connection to the school?
So I'm imagining if a student posts something on like their personal blog that has nothing to do with school,
Right.
then the school probably shouldn't have much authority there.
Probably not.
But if it's like directly targeting other students online, that feels different.
Yeah, that's where it starts to get murky.
Okay, so that's the first part, nexus to the school. What about the second part of this test?
So the second part is substantial disruption.
Okay, and that sounds familiar.
Yeah, it comes straight from Tinker.
Right.
Basically, the court is looking at whether the off-campus speech actually caused a major disruption at school
Okay.
or if it was likely to cause a disruption.
Okay, so like if it messed with how the school was supposed to run or if it violated the rights of other students at the school?
Exactly.
Okay, and what's the third part?
The third part is foreseeability.
Foreseeability. Oh.
Okay. So here, the court is asking, was it reasonably foreseeable that
Yeah.
the online speech would make its way back to the school and cause problems?
So basically, could they have predicted that this was going to come back and bite them?
Pretty much. And this part acknowledges that online stuff spreads fast.
Yeah, things go viral.
Totally. Even if you think you're posting something privately, it can easily end up in the school community.
Okay, so when they applied this three-part test to Kowalski's actions, It sounds like they found that all three parts were met.
Yeah, that's exactly what the Fourth Circuit decided.
Okay.
So for the Nexus, they said Kowalski's MySpace page was specifically targeting another student.
Cheyenne.
Right. And she invited other students from her high school to join the group.
Right.
So there was a clear connection to the school.
Okay, makes sense. What about substantial disruption?
Well, the court pointed out that Shay and her parents reported the harassment to the school.
Right.
And that Shay was so upset by it all that she even missed some classes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And on top of that, the school administrators had to spend a lot of time and energy dealing with the fallout.
Right. They had to investigate and figure out what to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that showed that there was actual disruption happening because of the MySpace page.
Okay. And what about foreseeability?
The court said because the page was so targeted,
right,
and because other students were involved, it was totally foreseeable that this would reach the school,
okay,
and cause issues.
So basically they're saying it was pretty obvious that this online stuff was going to spill over into the school.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so the court basically took that Tinker standard of substantial disruption,
right,
which was all about on-campus stuff.
Yeah.
And they kind of updated it for the digital age.
Exactly.
And said, yeah, this applies to off-campus online stuff too.
In certain situations. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's dig a little deeper into like how the court explained their decision.
Okay.
What were some of the key arguments that they made?
So Judge Niemeyer, who wrote the Fourth Circuit's opinion,
okay,
he really emphasized this idea that while students do have free speech rights,
right,
schools also have this really important duty.
Okay.
To step in when bullying is happening.
Okay.
Even if it's starting off campus.
Right.
If it's disrupting the school environment and hurting students, they have to do something.
Yeah, to protect the students.
Exactly. And he specifically said that in Kowalski's case,
yeah,
the connection between her spooch and the school was strong enough to justify the punishment.
Okay, so he's saying the school had a good reason to punish her.
Exactly.
Okay, so we talked about this a little bit earlier, but some people might argue that this kind of decision is letting schools get too involved in what kids are doing outside of school.
Right.
Like, shouldn't that be the parents' job?
Right.
How did the court respond to that?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Mm.
And the court, they acknowledge that parents definitely have the main responsibility,
yeah,
for guiding their kids' behavior.
Right.
But they said cyberbullying is different.
Okay, how so?
Well, because kids are always on their phones and online.
Right.
This kind of targeted harassment can follow them everywhere.
Yeah, it's not like you can just leave it at school anymore.
Exactly. It can follow you right into the school.
Right.
And the court basically said schools can't just ignore that.
Right.
Especially if it's really messing things up at school.
Right, like causing real harm.
Right. They said it's not enough to say, well, it started off campus, so it's not our problem.
Yeah.
And they also made a really important distinction here.
Okay, what's that?
They said Kowalski's speech wasn't about politics or some big public issue.
Okay.
It was a direct attack on another student.
Right.
And that kind of speech generally has less protection under the First Amendment.
Interesting. Okay, so what about Kowalski's argument,
yeah,
that her 14th Amendment rights were violated?
Yeah, her due process argument.
Right, that the school was unfair in how they punished her.
So the court was pretty straightforward on this one.
Okay.
They said the school's anti-bullying policy, while it maybe didn't spell out every single online behavior,
okay,
did make it clear enough that targeting and harassing other students was against the rules.
So basically, Kowalski should have known better.
Yeah. And they also said that Kowalski did have a chance to explain her side of the story,
okay,
before the school decided on the punishment.
So that satisfied the whole notice an opportunity to be heard idea.
Exactly. That comes from another Supreme Court case, Goss v. Lopez.
Right, which is all about student suspensions.
Yeah.
Okay, so this Kowalski case, it sets a pretty big precedent.
For sure.
For how schools can handle cyberbullying.
Absolutely.
But does this mean that schools can now, like, police everything students do online?
That's a really important question.
Yeah.
And it's a worry that comes up a lot with this kind of ruling.
Right.
But the court was really careful to say that this decision was specific to the facts of this case. Remember, this was about targeted harassment.
Right.
That was clearly going to disrupt the school environment.
Okay.
So it's not like a free pass for schools to monitor and punish everything kids are doing online.
Okay, good. Because that would be a little scary.
Yeah, definitely.
So that three-part test they created.
Right. The nexus, substantial disruption and foreseeability.
Yeah, it gives some guidance, but it still feels like it could be open to interpretation.
Absolutely. And lower courts have been wrestling with this ever since.
Like with what kinds of questions?
Well, like, how bad does the disruption have to be to meet this standard? And how direct does the connection to the school have to be?
So there's still a lot of gray area.
Definitely.
Yeah, it does feel like there could be a slippery slope here.
For sure.
Like, what if a student posts something critical about a teacher on their own social media account from home?
Right?
Could that be seen as disruptive under this Kowalski standard?
Yeah, that's a great example. And that's where the line between targeted harassment and just general commentary or criticism becomes really, really important.
Right.
The court in Kowalski, they specifically said that this ruling wasn't supposed to cover broad criticism
Okay.
or expressions of opinion, especially when it's about things like school policies or how teachers are doing their
So,
jobs.
like, students should still be able to speak their minds about those things.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But if that criticism turns into targeted harassment
Right.
aimed at a specific person, and if it can be shown that it's actually disrupting the school environment,
Yeah.
maybe by creating a hostile environment for that teacher or for other students,
Right.
then it could potentially fall under the Kowalski precedent.
Okay, so it really comes down to the specific facts of each situation.
Exactly. And how a court interprets those key parts of the test.
Right, the nexus and substantial disruption.
Exactly.
One thing that stuck out to me when I was reading this case was that the court talked about school having a role as trustees of student well-being.
Right.
That seems like a big responsibility.
It is huge. And I think there's a growing recognition
Yeah.
that schools have a responsibility to protect students from harm.
Right.
And that includes harm that's happening online.
Especially when it's spilling over into the school.
Exactly. And Kowalski really highlights how tough it is to balance those two things.
Yeah.
Students' free speech rights and the school's responsibility to create a safe and productive environment.
Right, because they're both really important.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's recap all of this for our listeners.
Okay.
What are the key takeaways from Kowalski v. Berkeley County Schools that everyone should really understand?
So first and foremost, schools can regulate student speech that happens off campus,
Okay.
but they can't do it all the time.
Right.
There has to be a foreseeable and substantial disruption within the school environment.
Right. So it can't just be anything.
Exactly.
Okay. What else?
So second, that big Tinker v. Des Moines precedent about substantial disruption on campus,
Right.
that idea has been expanded by cases like Kowalski to include some types of off-campus online stuff,
Okay.
especially when there's a strong connection to the school community.
Okay. So that nexus idea.
Exactly.
Okay, what's the third takeaway?
The third one is that schools have to have clear anti-bullying and harassment policies,
Okay.
and they have to give students due process.
Right, so students need to know the rules and they need a chance to defend themselves.
Exactly.
So it's not just about what you're saying online,
Right.
it's about how that speech is impacting the school community, even if you said it from your own home.
Absolutely, the impact matters.
And something that really stood out to me was how the court talked about the difference between protected political speech
Right.
and the kind of targeted harassment that happened in this case.
Yeah, that distinction is crucial.
It is.
The First Amendment gives a lot of protection to political speech
Oh.
and to people expressing their opinions about important public issues. But that protection is weaker when the speech is harassment.
Especially when it's actually harming other students.
Exactly.
So this whole area, it feels like it's going to keep evolving as technology changes.
Oh, absolutely.
So on that note, any final thoughts about Kowalski and what it means for the future?
Yeah, I think the big question going forward is how will courts apply that sufficient nexus test?
Right, that connection to the school.
Exactly. How will they apply that to new online platforms and new online behaviors?
Yeah, because things are changing so fast.
All the time. Think about all the new social media trends, the fact that more and more learning is happening online,
Right.
even online gaming communities where students are interacting.
That's a whole new world.
It is. And so the question is, how will courts balance free speech rights
Right.
with the need to keep schools safe and productive in this new digital landscape?
So, lots to think about.
Definitely, it's going to be fascinating to see how this all plays out.
It is. All right. Well, thanks for breaking all that down.
My pleasure.
Really interesting stuff.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. That's it for today's deep dive.
Until next time.
See you later.